mentioned the last time, it is set during a very distressing time. It would take place during the era of Judges. And in Judges, there was a lot of turmoil in the life of Israel. There was a lot of their ups and downs. A dark time in history. But yet in the middle of that dark time is this bright spot, this beautiful story of Ruth. It's a story of love, a story of devotion, a story of redemption. And there's three points that are part of this message, and those points were Ruth chooses. It was the servant who was set over the reapers. Boaz sees this woman in his field that he apparently never saw before. It was a stranger. And he says, Who is this? Who is this young woman? Who is this damsel? Is the term that is used. In verses 6 and 7, we have... This thing's not working? Okay, I'll try to stay put. The foreman gives his report. And I think there's some interesting things here that he observes in Ruth. So he again, first of all, the servant, he identifies Ruth as the Moabitish damsel. He's telling him it's the lady, it's the young girl that came back with Naomi from Moab. That's who this is. And then he goes on and he tells the servant, the foreman tells Boaz a little bit about this young lady. The first thing he says is that she asked permission. She came to this foreman and said, "Let me glean." That's the phrase that the foreman says. It almost implies to me that was not normal to ask permission to glean. I don't know that, but it almost implies that because he made a noteworthy that she asked. And then he goes on and he says that she continued even from the morning until now. He is saying that she is a hard worker. He observed that she is diligent. She asked permission and she's a hard worker. That was the servant's or the foreman's observation of Ruth. Verses 8 and 9. Boaz now speaks to Ruth for the first time. First time that they would have talked to each other. And again, just some fascinating wording here. He addresses her as my daughter. Maybe I should have looked up the word that was used there for daughter. But he says, my daughter. And I don't know, one of the commentaries that I used suggested that possibly that would speak to an age difference, possibly, of them. That Ruth would have been young enough, or he would have been old enough to be her father. I don't know that. We don't know their age that I'm aware of. But anyway, it could speak to that. I'm not sure. But anyway, he goes on, and he invites Ruth to continue in his fields. He says, abide here. Don't go anywhere else, but you stay here into my fields. He also assures her that he has ordered his men to let her alone. Not to touch her, not to leave her alone. Do not touch. And then he also, he offers water. Whenever you're thirsty, Ruth, you're welcome to drink from the water pots that we have for my workers. And so as I observe Boaz here, I see provision, I see protection. Boaz. It seems to me that Boaz here, he is going the second mile for a stranger. The stranger from Moab. In verse 10, we have Ruth's response to Boaz. And what I see from Ruth here is I see reverence, I see respect. It says in verse 10 that she fell on her face. She bowed herself to the ground. There's where I see that humility and that respect and that honor, reverence. And she says, why? In verse 10, the middle of the verse, why have I found grace in thine eyes? That thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. This whole concept of her being a stranger seems to keep coming up, and we'll see it again and again. That she is feeling, whatever that is, that strangeness, that fact that she is a foreigner. She is not one of them. That seems to be so real to her. But anyway, humility, reverence, respect. Boaz goes on in verses 11 and 12. Boaz informs her that he says, I heard about you. I heard all about you. He says there in verse 11, it says, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. How you left your father and mother in the land of your nativity, and you came with her. He says, it's been told me. I've heard about you. I believe that Boaz was genuinely impressed with Ruth's loyalty to Naomi, as well as her newfound faith in God. He goes on in verse 12, and he pronounces a blessing on Ruth. He says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. He's saying he's asking that God would repay her for all that she has done for Naomi. But he also addresses at the end of verse 12, he said, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He recognized that Ruth has come to trust in the Almighty God. Verse 13, Ruth commends Boaz for his comfort and his friendliness. She says that thou hast comforted me. Thou hast spoken friendly unto me, thine handmaiden. And Ruth, again, she acknowledges that she's different. She says, though you did all this to me, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. Again, that feeling of being different, of being a stranger, of being a foreigner. I'm not like one of your people. I'm different, but yet you've been kind to me. You spoke kindly to me. You spoke friendly to me. Boaz goes on in verse 14. Boaz invites her to have lunch with his workers, and she does that. It's in verse 14. Verses 15 to 23, I see Ruth's labor of love continues. She continues to work in the fields, and Boaz, his generosity abounds. After lunch, it seems like she got up, she rises up, and she goes back out in the fields to work. And she continues to glean. Boaz gives some instructions to his men. He tells them, let her glean among the sheaves. Don't rebuke her. Let some handfuls of grain fall so that she can pick them up. Says that she gleans even until even. To the evening, and then she gathers up her stuff and she goes back home. She goes back to her mother-in-law, and she tells her mother-in-law about her day, all that went on, and how she met this Boaz and how kind he was. And she gives her the story. Ruth gives Naomi the story. She ends by saying this. It says, about Ruth. It says, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So this was a daily thing, it seems, for Ruth. She would go out. She would go to the fields of Boaz, and she would gather. She was out there serving. Gathering for her and for Naomi so that they would have food to eat. She was a servant. She did this through the harvest. I'd like to stop here for a moment And I'd like to think about our two characters in the story, Ruth and Boaz. And I'd like to think about their character qualities. And I ask you this morning, what do you see? I know I've mentioned a number of different characteristics, but what do you see in Ruth? When you look at Ruth, what kind of character qualities do you see? Now's when I wish I had this. I want to walk around. What do you see?
Sure, that would work if that has good batteries.
What kind of character qualities do you see in Ruth?
We'll start with her.
You're allowed to talk in church.
Certainly loyalty to her mother-in-law.
Loyalty.
A willing worker.
Loyalty, a willing worker. All right, we have loyalty, a willing worker. What else? A great attitude. Considering all that she was through, a great attitude. Grateful. Okay, any more? She was humble. There's no wrong answer. I just want us to grasp the character of this woman, of what she was like. A moral person. Yes. Okay, so maybe she was seeing a bigger picture. It's possible. I mean, just some of the things that I see here, I see committed and caring and hardworking, and maybe I'm repeating some of yours: respectful, loyal, humble, devoted, industrious, unselfish. Ruth had a love in her heart that she cared about her mother-in-law. She was devoted to her. She didn't expect anything in return either for her devotion. I believe it just was a true heart of love and care that I see in this woman's heart. Any more? Character qualities that you see in Ruth. All right, let's go on. Let's think about Boaz. So what do you see in Boaz? What kind of character qualities do you see there? A very kind man.
He was also very humble.
Okay. A humble. That's very true. That's not on my list for him, but that's very true.
Also high moral attitude, so to speak.
High morals, high moral standards. Yeah, somebody over here was going to say something. Observant. Yeah. Initiative.
Very humble, being very wealthy.
Yes, oftentimes those two don't go together. But that is, I have high respect of individuals that are wealthy and have humility. And yes, you're right, we see that there. Anything else? Let me look at my list. So I see a godly man, kind, caring, generous, unselfish, respectful. It's one of the things that I guess that just stands out to me as I see Boaz. And that is his generosity towards the less fortunate. I mean, he had a kindness and a generosity It reminded me of 1 John 3:17, where it says, "Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" You know, when we have this world's goods, this world's blessings, and we close up our bowels of compassion, when we are not generous, it's saying, how can you say that you love God? And I see Boaz as that man, that generous man. He was willing to give. It was a foreigner. Yes, he knew her story. He knew Naomi. But even beyond Ruth, I don't believe that Ruth was the only one in the field that was gathering for their personal needs. I mean, he had his own reapers, of course. But anyway, I see a generous giver here. Now, my challenge for us this morning, when people observe your life and my life, what kind of character do they see? So we were looking here at Ruth and Boaz, and we were looking at their character. And we said, there's some things here that are really beautiful, and we like that. But what do people see when they see me and they see you? What list would people make if they were talking about us this morning? In 100 years from now, what will be said about me and about you? What character is evident in your story? We all have a story. We are living a life. We are creating a story just like this story of Ruth and Boaz. What will be said about our story? All right, let's continue on. My third point of this morning, Ruth's reward. Chapter 3. Let's continue here. In verse 1, we want to see Naomi's heart for Ruth. I want to take notice of what it says. It says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Naomi's heart, her heartbeat was to seek rest. To seek rest for Ruth. What does that mean? That word, that idea there, to seek rest, means that of something quiet, a settled spot, a home, a place of rest. If you go back to chapter 1, in chapter 1 and verse 9, this was when Naomi told the two daughter-in-laws to go back home, to go home. It says, she told them, she said, "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest." It's the same word, "that you may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband." If I was to interpret this verse in some plain English, I'm wondering if we could say that Naomi is telling Ruth here, "I'm going to find a husband for you." That place of rest. So in chapter 1, that place of rest included a husband. Go back and find yourself a husband. Now she's saying, "I'm going to find a place of rest for you. That's my mission, to find that husband for you." And so it seems to me that Naomi goes on, and she plays the role of a matchmaker. She goes on in verses, we're in chapter 3, verses 2 to 4, and she instructs Ruth what to do. She says, you know, where to go and what to do, how all of this was supposed to happen. And we're not going to go through and look at all the details of what she was supposed to do. To us, it's strange customs. We don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to us. but it was their custom of that day. It was not weird. It wasn't shady. It wasn't some kind of evil ways of doing things. It was their custom. And so, again, Naomi gives Ruth the instructions of what to do. You know, you're supposed to go to the threshing floor and you're wash yourself, anoint, put on some good smelling perfume and some clean clothes and go down to the threshing floor. And this is what you're to do. We conclude in verse 5 that Ruth says, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Ruth says, okay, you know, Naomi, you know how this works. I'll do it. I'll do it. And so Ruth obeys Naomi. In verses 6 to 9, she goes and she does what Naomi told her to do. And again, there's just lots of culture here that we don't understand. It would be something that it'd be a good study if you want to look into that and see what all of it means and how it works. But Ruth does exactly what Naomi tells her to do. Again, I don't know, but I'm assuming that this was probably all strange to Ruth as well. I mean, it's very possible that the Moabite culture was different than the Jewish culture. And so this could have been strange to her as well. I don't know that for a fact, but it's possible. So anyway, we have Ruth carrying out what Naomi said. And in verse 9, it says that it's now midnight and Boaz wakes up and he finds a woman at his feet. And he's afraid. Says he's afraid. Verse 9, he says, "Who are you?" And Ruth responds, I'm Ruth, thine handmaiden. And she tells him to spread thy skirt over thine handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman. So there's this whole thing that Ruth does as she goes to the threshing floor. She ends up at his feet. He wakes up at midnight. He finds her and she says, you're a near kinsman. And I'd like to think about that word kinsman for just a little bit. Back in chapter 2 and verse 1, the term kinsman was used there as well. In that setting, in chapter 2, verse 1, that meant a near relative. The word that is used here in chapter 3, chapter 3 and verse 9, it is a different Hebrew word. It's translated kinsman just the same, but it is a different Hebrew word. This Hebrew word is used 21 times in the book of Ruth, this kinsman. 11 times it's translated kinsman, one time it's kinsmen's with a plural with an S on the end. It's kinsmen one time. 8 times this Hebrew word is translated redeemed or redeem. And so this word means this word, this kinsman, according to the Bible dictionary, it means to redeem, to act as a kinsman redeemer, to avenge, to revenge, to ransom, to do the part of a kinsman. It goes on and it describes a kinsman carries out his role by marrying a brother's widow to beget a child for him, to redeem from slavery, to redeem land, to exact vengeance. And you could go back into the book of Deuteronomy. We're not going to go there, but Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 to 10, it gives the responsibility of the next of kin, this kinsman redeemer. It gives what they were required to do. You could go to Leviticus and you could see a couple different verses where it talks about the actions of what they were doing as a kinsman. That was Leviticus 25, verse 25 and 35. The kinsman redeemer had several responsibilities, and I mentioned some of this already, but His responsibilities were, it included redeeming land that had been lost for whatever reason. It included buying back enslaved family members. It included marrying a widow in the family to carry on the family lineage. It included restoring family inheritance. And this commentator went on to say these acts were not only seen as important in protecting the family's assets, but also in continuing family lineage and fulfilling family honor. Ruth tells Boaz there at midnight, "You are a near kinsman." Now, I'm not sure. Maybe this is taking it a bit far. But could we say that Ruth was proposing marriage to Boaz? I mean, in essence, she was saying, "Marry me." Not, "You're my near kinsman." Well, for sure, she was making him aware that he was a kinsman. And he had kinsman responsibilities. In the next couple of verses, we have Boaz's assessment of the situation here. He acknowledges, Ruth's kindness. In verse 10, he says, "For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning." And I'm not sure, not clear on what the latter and the beginning end, what all of that means, what he's trying to say there. But he's acknowledging Ruth's kindness. And then he goes on and he's also, he notes the fact that she would have had the opportunity to go and chase after young men. But he says, you followest not the young men, whether they be rich or poor. I believe he's acknowledging her maturity. He acknowledges her kindness. He acknowledges her maturity. He also says something else. In verse 11, it says, "For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Now, what do you think of when you hear that word virtuous? That is what Boaz is describing Ruth as. She is a virtuous woman. What do you think about? Again, here's your time to talk. You could trust her. So she's trustworthy. What else do you think about when you think about virtues? By the way, this is the same word that is used talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. Virtuous. Same Hebrew word. What else do you think about of virtuous?
She's a provider for her and Naomi.
A provider. Okay. Anything else? If we were to go to our definition of the word virtuous, the English definition, and these are just some synonyms, the dictionary gave me good and righteous and moral and worthy and honorable. And I guess as I read that, you know, the whole town, the whole city knows that you're a virtuous woman. That's what was in my mind, that's kind of my perspective. She was a morally pure woman. She was just a good, worthy and honorable and righteous. Yeah, that just all fit. I found it fascinating. I went to look up the Hebrew word, what is used here. And here's the definition. This is Strong's, and so it's not a nice written out definition, but it has the idea of It says probably a force, whether of men, means, or other resources, an army, wealth, virtue, valor, strength, a band of men, soldiers, a company of great forces, a host, mighty power, riches, strength, strong, substance, valiant, valor, virtuous. 51 times in the Old Testament, this Hebrew word is translated army. The same word that is used, virtuous, is translated army. 37 times, it is valor. That I think of describing a strong army man. So what was Boaz saying about Ruth when he used that term? I believe he was saying that you're a woman of strength, you're a woman of resilience, you're a woman of endurance, a woman of courage. We need to keep moving here. This clock is not working for us. Anyway, this is all happening. This is midnight at the threshing floor. And Boaz says, don't be afraid, says, fear not. This is in verse 11. I will do all that thou requirest. He says, I'll do it. He goes on a little later, verse 13. He says, I will do the part of a kinsman. But in verse 12, he says, we have one problem. We have a problem. There is somebody else that's first in line. There is a near kinsman, a nearer than I, he says. But anyway, he goes on here and he says, don't worry about anything. Sleep the night here. Let's finish out the night. Let's rest. And I'll take care of everything in the morning. In the morning, Ruth returns home. She goes back to Naomi and she tells them all about the night. Tells her everything that happened. And this is what Naomi has to say in verse 18. Then said she, this is Naomi, sit still, my daughter. In other words, have patience. Sit still, have patience, Ruth, until thou knowest the matter, how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. She says, have patience, Ruth. Boaz, he's like a dog with a bone, and he is not going to let this rest till he gets it figured out. All right, a life lesson here yet that I want to think about in this portion of Scripture. And we kind of talked about this before. So it said that all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. We talked about our character and what people know about us. What does the city? It says, everybody knows, Ruth, that you are this virtuous woman. You are this woman of strength and resilience and endurance and courage. What are we known for? What does the city, what does the community know about you? What are you known for? What am I known for? A challenge for us. All right, let's continue on. Oh, I wanted to talk just a little bit more about kinsmen. I promise I'll try to make this fast. So Boaz was this kinsman redeemer. And this kinsman redeemer, it was a temporal redemption by Boaz, but it points towards God's redeeming work. And it reaches its climax in Jesus Christ, giving himself. Titus 2, verses 13 and 14. Looking unto that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Boaz paid the redemption price for Ruth. Jesus paid our redemption price. He gave himself. Ruth was at a hopeless place. She had nothing. There was no future. She was lost. She had nothing. And that's where you and I were as well. We were at the same place. But Jesus redeemed us. He was our kinsman redeemer. He paid the price. He redeemed us. He rescued us. You see, Boaz is a type of Christ. What Boaz did for Ruth, that's what Jesus did for you and I. He redeemed us. All right, story goes on. Boaz goes to the city gate. That's where the business was done, and he goes again. We're not going to go through the details, but he does what he needs to do. He clears the way that he can marry Ruth. Verse 10 says, "Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among the brethren and from the gate of this place. Ye are witnesses this day." Boaz, he did what he needed to do. He went back to the gate. He cleared the path. He marries Ruth. We go on in chapter 4. They have a son. Ruth and Boaz have a son. His name is Obed. Grandma Naomi is just absolutely delighted. She takes her grandchild. It says in verse 16 that Naomi took the child. She laid it on her bosom and she became nursing to it. Naomi is now in her glory as grandma. She is loving it all. Chapter concludes with giving us a family tree. Verse 21, it says that Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Ruth is the great grandmother of King David. Wow. That great King David. Ruth is his great grandmother. And actually, that carries on then, of course, to Christ. So Ruth is in the family line of Christ. And so there we have the story of Ruth, a story of heartache. We began with heartache, with famine and death. But we end up at a beautiful place, a place of happiness, a place of joy. And so what can we learn from Ruth? Well, we talked about commitment. We talked about Ruth's commitment. And I think that is just a challenge for us. If we could see today in marriages today, if we could have that kind of commitment, there would be no divorce in our land. Commitment. What a challenge. Then we have this character, the character qualities of both Ruth and Boaz. They're outstanding. Now, we also want to remember that these beautiful characters is taking place in a very dark time when there was sin all around and it was not a great setting for them. But here we have these two shining lights in the darkness. How about us? Will our character shine in this dark world? Will we be that beacon, that bright light? The other thing that I thought about is this whole idea, the heartaches. You know, we all have heartaches in life. We have hard times. And I recognize that there's times of grievings in those heartaches. But I believe as we look at the heartaches of Ruth and Naomi, God didn't want them to stay there. God took them on that journey from a place of heartache to a place of happiness. And I believe that's God's desire for us as well. Now, maybe our story is not going to look exactly like this, but God desires to take us from heartaches to happiness. And he will do it in different ways. From ashes to beauty. You know, sometimes we can get stuck in the valleys, in the heartache times. But God wants to take us to the mountaintops. We need to allow him to do that. And he will do that. God will take a heart that is full of pain, of despair, and suffering, and he will turn it into something beautiful in his own way. And only God can do that in our lives. Heartache to happiness. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. We just rejoice and thank you for this beautiful story of heartache to happiness. The story of Ruth and Boaz. God, as we just observe their character, what a challenge for us. Father, I pray that you would just use this story to challenge our hearts. Challenge us to a place of commitment. Challenge us, Lord, to a place of character. And Father, challenge us to a place that we can move from the heartaches, the valleys, allow you to carry us to the mountaintops. God, thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Father, go with us, help us, strengthen us to be faithful to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.